This is an interview with Ms. Pauline Longest on August 3rd, 2000. Sandy, what did you do before you came to Methodist?
After graduation, I worked at High Point Hospital in High Point, where I graduated. Then I worked in a doctor's office for a couple of years. Then we moved here in May of 67, and I started with Methodist in September of 67. And during this time, I've worked for the Village Clinic. When we were off during the summers, I did some part-time work over there, relief work. But for the last 33 years, I've been here at Methodist College.
Who else was here when you came, and what was the infirmary situation when you came? How was that set up?
When I started here, we had a doctor who was a county health physician who came out and worked an hour a morning, 5 days a week. We had three nurses on staff. The infirmary hours were 8 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night. We had overnights in the old infirmary building because we could sleep about 20 students. And we also had a lady named Hattie who did the cleaning and cooking. And the students loved her so much they used to just come over and get sick to spend the night to get Hattie's cooking. But we did, we have downsized since that time.
You kept all the records over there, and you did all the record keeping and all of that?
That's correct.
What were the advantages to having an infirmary?
Well, when we have a sick student who had a fever, high fever, or anything we thought might be contagious, we could isolate them from the dorm situations. And that's basically what we did. Anybody we thought that might be spreading their illness to other people, we just pulled them out of the dorms and kept them over there.
I remember how nice that was if you were sick and couldn't keep anything in your stomach. Hattie would come in 100 times a day, if necessary, with just a sip of tea or a sip of Coke or something. But you would also take turns spending the night with students.
That's correct. We had three nurses, and we rotated. The other two nurses had children, so at that particular time, I ended up spending probably three-fourths of the night, just simply because of family situations at home. But there was an alternating thing, and they would fill in any time that we needed to.
You wore caps?
Yeah, we wore full uniform.
We had caps.
Yes, we did.
Some of the other nurses and some of the doctors?
Our school doctor, and the only one we had, was Dr. George Iguez. He was also the county health doctor, but he gave an hour of his time Monday through Friday from 8 until 9 o'clock, and we would schedule six students to see him then. At that time was Rebecca Bird was the other nurse, and Deanna Oakes was the third nurse. And I worked morning shift, Ms. Bird worked in the afternoons, and Ms. Oakes worked in the evenings. So it was sort of a split shift, different hours, but we stayed on a standard shift. Shortly after that, Ms. Bird left, and Nancy Kerner came to work with us. And Ms. Kerner stayed with us for several years. Ms. Oakes also left. So at the time, it was Kathy Christian came on board, so it was Nancy Kerner, Kathy Christian, and I. And that's when we had the alternating shifts and started keeping the students in-house. We had the upstairs for isolation. Say if we had cases of measles or something, we would put them up there. During that time, there was a couple of people who lived upstairs. They were married couples who oversaw the infirmary and was there in case we needed anything. After their graduation, there were about three different couples who stayed there, who sort of oversaw the infirmary when we weren't there. Then Bill Loudermilk made an apartment up there, and he moved in, and he was there for the last 15 years or so, maybe more than that.
Buster and Margie Roth were there, Margie Hall Roth, Raymond Roth, and their baby was born while they were there, Tommy, who got spoiled a lot by those nurses, I remember. I remember the flu epidemic in 68, how overrun you were in that year. And they closed school early?
That was a busy, busy year, and they did close down. We had ice storms and everything that was going along with it. Power failure in the dormitories. Fortunately, the power system to the infirmary was on a different thing, so we were able to keep operating. But yes, they did close early that year, and it was a bad flu year.
What do you remember, any students in particular, any incidents or any stories?
Well, I think probably the funny one was a girl during the Valentine season had done a semi-attempt at cutting her wrist with a pop can lid, and we had to put her over there for, of course, 24-hour observation. And she would be pretending she was asleep and hid in the closet and tried to escape on us, so it was kind of cute and frightening all at the same time. Turned out to be funny. She stayed with us for about 4 or 5 days until her parents could get up there. At that time, I can't think of who was the dean of women at that time?
Inga Dent?
No, it was before Inga Dent. At that time, Dean Douglas came over to help with it and to do sort of an in-house counseling session for. And then she decided to stay overnight with us, and that was the night that this particular girl tried to escape on us. So it was kind of cute, kind of funny, and kind of sad all at the same time. She did withdraw from school.
When did the infirmary close over there, or when did you begin to downsize? When did you go, say, from 3 nurses to 2, or whatever the sequence was?
I think after Miss Kerner left, the division of hours, with our records, it showed that after lunchtime, maybe only 1 or 2 students would even go over in the afternoon. And that's when they decided just to keep the 2 nurses. Of course, our doctor, Iguez, moved out of state. So at that time, we didn't have a doctor who came on campus. We used Dr. L.B. Hardison's office, which was over on Southern Avenue, and all the students who needed to see a doctor at that time were transported over to Dr. Hardison's office. That was the beginning of the downsizing. Then after Ms. Christian left, that's when they divided my time, and at that point in time I did the infirmary, plus we had a small office over in the lobby, or in one of the rooms of Weaver Lobby, that we sort of split the time. That basically became ineffective because students didn't know where to reach me. Then when we changed deans for student life, they moved me over here to be in the close proximity to the students. So after the move over here is when the official downsizing, I guess you would say, when it was just me and using a doctor on call. Then Ron Foster entered the picture, a PA. At that time, he was employed by the urgent care system, and he devoted an hour of his time, 1 day per week, to come out and do health services, and gradually just kind of moved into the college situation and has been with health services ever since. And of course, he started the PA program, which I think the students now think is student health, but it's completely a separate entity.
You've helped with annual conference and some of the other conferences, haven't you, for a long time?
For a long, long time. In fact, I guess for the last 25 years, maybe even longer than that, when they had them on campus. That's one of my favorite times because now I'm getting to see all the students who graduated come back. Now they've moved us out to the auditorium, and which is all right, but not nearly as homey as it is here on campus.
Do you keep in touch with many students?
A lot of the students I still get cards from, telephone calls, a letter every now and again. from the different ones, and now I'm starting to see their children, so I do get messages sent to me.
What's the procedure been if a student has to go to the hospital? Do they contact you? Do they contact the dean? What is the procedure? Throughout the time that you've been here?
Basically, we have a situation where we train the RAs who live in the dorms. And the procedure now, especially if it's an after-hours thing, is they see the RA. The RA will either call Ron Foster or I. We are on 24-hour call, 7 days a week. And usually Mr. Foster, if it's something that he can take care of or that we can take care of here in health services, we meet him over here. If it's a thing where we have to transport the students, we have a thing with security that will transport our students to the hospital any time, day or night.
I remember years ago, maintenance used to take us to the hospital if we had to go. When I first came back here as alumni director in 1985, James took me down to the boiler plant to pick up some supplies that were being stored down there, and he kept looking at me and he said, "Didn't you used to be a student?" Well, he had taken me to the doctor one time when I was a student, I think Dr. Hardison or something. Do you see any changes coming up in your area?
We're hoping in the near future that the possibility, and it's been a big dream of all of us, to have our own personal building complete with a lab tech, possibility of having an x-ray technician, and going for more hours a day, being covered with the PA program. We were hoping we could maybe do most of our stuff in-house. So our dreams are, of course, to keep building, keep growing, and as the student population gets larger, we would certainly like to have our own place.
Anything else you'd like to add? Any stories you'd like to relate or anything you'd like to add to this?
No, not really any particular stories. I just say that working on the campus has been a very happy time in my life. I feel like I'm part of the family and hope to continue as being a part. I've gone from one of the students to the mother, and now I'm assuming the grandmother role, so hopefully my effectiveness won't wear out.
So, went to Methodist.
Absolutely. My husband is a Methodist graduate, my daughter Donna is a Methodist graduate, and my son Kevin is a Methodist college graduate. So needless to say, we have large ties to this college.